Hey guys, Bionabu presents the MedTech Podcast. If you're intrigued and want to learn more about how technology is changing healthcare, then this podcast is perfect for you. If you want to learn about entrepreneurship and innovation, then stick around. My name's Esh, and welcome to the conversation. Hey guys, welcome back to the MedTech Podcast. We have a really special episode. Today I'm joined with Bionabu's very own CEO and founder, Ina. Thank you so much for coming on. I think having set up this podcast about 3.5 months ago, I think this episode was bound to happen at one point, right? We were going to get you on and just have a discussion about all the amazing things Bionabu is doing and what we've got planned for the future. So Ina, for those of you that wouldn't know Ina, quite surprising if you're listening to the Bionabu podcast, but for those of you that don't know Ina, why don't you introduce yourself?
Thank you so much, Ash. Pleasure on finally be on your on the episode. Amazing work you are doing, and I was anxiously waiting for each episode to be released, and I'm super pleased that what an amazing people and podcast guest we had. So yeah, my name is Ina Bergsteller. I'm founder and CEO of the Bionabu, and I have a great pleasure being with you today.
Yeah, great. I think what I wanted to do is I wanted to record an episode about all the amazing things we're doing at Bionabu. I think it's really beneficial if we have this episode where any medical students or junior doctors interested in getting involved in medtech, health tech, they can come to this episode first as their first point of call to find out where they could be most suited in the whole Bionabu network and infrastructure. So to begin with, let's take you all the way back to when you first started Bionabu. What led you, what was the problem you found to setting up Bionabu initially?
This is a 1 million question, Ash. I've been in the industry long enough, over 20 years, to appreciate the complexity and the need for, specifically for the healthcare. At some point, I also was a student, a medical student, a junior doctor, and maybe I relate to all the guys now when I was questioning myself what career I want to have and whether I want to become a traditional clinician or not. At this point in the time, I was lucky enough to have mentors, to have the right people next to me who could point me in the right direction and to make right choices for me, for my personal life. And actually, I opted for alternative career in the research, in the clinical research, where I had an amazing time and amazing learning. But then why I started Bionabu? Because I saw in the industry increasing amount of medical knowledge and the data available to healthcare professionals. And it's quickly become overwhelming for me and my colleagues. And this cognitive burden for everyone involved in the healthcare industry, leading to burnout, frustration, career dissatisfaction, and ultimately decreasing quality of patient care. So I decided to address this specific challenge to create an ecosystem where anyone can embrace technology and have the partnership with healthcare professionals. Everything powered by AI, where this burden can be leveraged, the strengths of both human expertise and machine learning capabilities to actually do something good for the industry.
And an amazing job you have done. Anyone not on the Bionabu platform, yeah, you're definitely missing out. So make sure you go to bionabu.com and sign up and just have a look at all the amazing things, all the amazing different courses we're running, masterclasses, mentorship programs. And so I wanted to talk about today what we are doing, because it is a lot, right? We're doing so many different things. And sometimes I think people who just joined the platform as the first time, you might get a bit overwhelmed by the variety of different things there are. I was listening to a podcast today and it was talking about the paradox of choice. And when you have so many options in front of you, it's harder to actually make a decision, and it almost overcomplicates things when you have too many choices or in front of you. And so I wanted to break it down and what we're doing at Bionabu and how it can be beneficial for all the different people, all the different demographics we have on the site, because we have a range of people all the way from medical students in the early first, second year, all the way to clinicians, consultants, who are 60, 70 professors. And then equally at the same time, we have non-medics, engineers, which is really exciting. And additionally to that, if it's not already overcomplicated enough, we have people all around the world, different people in India, in Africa, in the UK, all coming together with a shared interest in medtech, health tech. So I think it'll be good if we break down what we're doing, and then we can almost signpost people to where they might want to go. So I think it's really topical, actually. You mentioned about burnout and the current issues you face graduating from med school, becoming a junior doctor, and realizing maybe a traditional career in medicine wasn't for you. So tell me a bit more about how you're feeling at that time, because at the moment, as anyone in the UK will know, all the junior doctors nationally have been going on strike this week and complaining about work-life balance, their pay, and just in general not happy with the NHS. So tell me a bit about your perspective. What was the reason that you decided not to go down the traditional route, you know?
I had exactly the same decision-making process in the country of my origin. Unfortunately, doctors were not paid well, and I had exactly the same situation by accepting this fact and do something honorable and to do this because I want to help people. Obviously, I'm coming from the family on the third generation of being the doctor. So for me, it was never a question like what profession I want to choose.
As well.
Yeah.
You have a doctor who's a parent, and it's pretty much fate is determined for you before you're born, right?
Yeah, that's right. So for me, it was never a question what to become in this respect. However, for me, it was the question, do I accept a night shift and the situation where I would be going for the many years on a low pay? And unfortunately, still the situation in most of the countries, there's this networking opportunities and educational opportunities, continuous education opportunities are not available. So UK is actually on that front doing something really innovative. The startup landscape is quite vibrant in this country. So this is the opportunity. So for everyone who is thinking, okay, maybe something else to their traditional career, fortunately, UK is the right country to explore other avenues. One of them is the clinical research, which I took and I never regretted.
Great. And I know when I first came on board with BNRB, we had a discussion, this is before I was even part of the team, about the current problems there are actually in medical school education, so even before you graduate as a doctor, and how there are so many different issues in the education system that it almost stifles creativity and it prevents students from thinking outside the box, which I think needs to be addressed first before looking at the reasons why junior doctors are going on strike. I think it starts earlier than that, actually, going all the way back to med school, and how med students almost run to the point where they're set up for failure as junior doctors. So I think it'll be good to discuss the different problems around medical school education. I'll give you some of my anecdotes, some of my personal experiences, and then we can talk about how we're trying to change that with the BNRB Academy as well. Because I think me personally, that's the most, I know BNRB has so many different branches, but me as a student, that's what excites me the most, the BNRB Academy, because I can see firsthand how beneficial that is to students like myself. And so, to begin with, should we talk a little bit about medical school education and what the issues are currently? I think we could be here for a long while, but I could probably rant for a long while. But what do you think, having spoken to students, what is the main issue at the moment?
Unfortunately, since I graduated, the situation is unchanged. And I think in many countries, you will find exactly the same. You need to invest a lot to become a doctor. And this is a time, and this is a very clear focus on anatomy and physiology and chemistry and all the rest of it. Also, you need to have a lot of practical experience and rules to actually understand which direction you want to take as a doctor. So it's a lot. And I felt very much challenged and overwhelmed with information and demands of medical education. So I think it's no surprise that it's no place and no room for anything additional. It's almost not possible, because the curriculum is so packed. I don't know, Ash, how do you find it? But I was very overwhelmed with this when I was
there. Yeah, I think it's still like that, honestly. I guess I have the added, I was disadvantaged maybe, that I was training during COVID. So when the pandemic hit, I think it maybe added to the demand of stress, because we aren't getting that same clinical exposure that allows you to grow and build upon and become a better doctor. Instead, we're sat indoors and just doing lectures, trying to actually learn from textbooks. But as we know, medicine, you can't learn medicine from textbooks, right? You have to actually be out there. So I think you're exactly right. the curriculum is super jam-packed. And it's almost outdated, right? Because the same medicine we're practicing now is almost the same medicine that we that you would have practiced, and then also my dad would have practiced, and so on. There have been maybe some different changes, but it's roughly the same. It's pretty much you need to memorize what's in your textbook, and then you get the exact same exams, and you just need to regurgitate that back, that information back. And it's no surprise that there isn't room for people. There's little freedom for people to work on innovations or any other, or even any innovations, just any interest outside of medicine, which is a shame, because I think medics are some of the most driven, hardworking, talented people in the world. But if they were seen as a resource and their mental energy was focused into other aspects of the world, then we could do amazing things. Do you think as well about how the curriculum doesn't allow much exposure to tech? Because I know we've had a conversation about that.
Yeah, I feel it's a shame though, because like you say, to study medicine, you need to be academically rigorous and you need to be talented, no doubt, to actually be admitted to the medical university. So it's a shame. And like you say, I felt really frustrated that it was, I completely hear what you say. I was frustrated that you almost need to memorize by heart with a little room for your own opinion, for your own input. And I was frustrated that in my medical university, the books were like my granddad was doing when he was studying to be a doctor. And I was always passionate about education. And I felt exactly the same, that it's a lack of innovation, of updated literature, of at my time, I didn't have anything like 3D to see how the organ could look like. So it's really hard to imagine how things are actually correlated to each other, which almost frustrates you that you cannot see this whole holistic big picture. This is what I was missing and frustrates me most.
Yeah. And it's a shame also, I don't think that the universities are giving much support. So with this podcast and with me working on my own innovations, I know we've had a couple of conversations about the app I'm working on for pediatric asthma patients. It allows me very little time, free time, where I can do what I, also other things I can enjoy, whether it is socializing, going out, because I'm having to go to a placement 9 to 5, make sure I'm competent in my competencies, get that stuff done. And then when I come home, start thinking about all the other stuff I'm interested in, podcasts and building this app. And so it allows for little time. And I've gone to the university to speak about if there's any support they can give me, whether it is mentorship advice, even allow me some time off during the week, maybe a dedicated afternoon to focus on these other things that I am really interested in. And they came back to me and said that it's not really our priority at the moment. We want to focus on helping students who are in more academic need. So the students that haven't maybe performed as well in their exams, they want to put their resources into supporting them. But it's a shame, because on the other end of the spectrum, people like myself who are interested in maybe starting their own companies, building innovations for the betterment of patient care, we don't get much support. We need it. And it's frustrating. And where can I go for this support? If only there was a platform that was offering medtech education support.
This is the novel, right?
Exactly. So I'm so grateful that I found you guys. So when did we first meet, Ina?
I think we met when you were the winner of the hackathon of one of our partners, Medtech Foundation, and we offered the sponsorship for continuation to bring these ideas to life.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was about a year ago, right? I participated in the Medtech hackathon. Our team ended up winning. We were focusing on building an app for post-operative patients. It was almost just a chat forum app, really simple. And the next step after that was we started the BNRB mentorship program, which was an exciting experience. So as a result of winning, our prize was the fact that we would be set up with weekly mentorship in our group. We'd get support through different topics of medtech, whether it is starting your own company, the different aspects of fundraising, how to work on your pitch deck, stuff like that. And that was an amazing experience, because as medics, we're never exposed to the business world, right? We get no exposure on business model, what that even means, how to set one up. We get no exposure on what fundraising is, how to fundraise, different types of fundraising. And so it was refreshing to have a platform, have support there that would work me through what each of those terms meant and how to go about starting up a company. So maybe talk a bit more about the mentorship program, you know.
So yeah, last summer we were kicking off our mentorship curriculum to allow us to tailor something really industry specific for medics who are interested in healthcare innovation and in commercial skills, how to bring these ideas to life and actually commercialize and have these connections in the industry. And now, as we have a CPD accredited curriculum of 8 modules, which give the fast track from zero to hero, actually understand to begin with, is this world for you? Do you have ability and capability and stamina actually to bring something sustainably long-term to life? Because what's missing in the industry as well, that it's not a lack of innovation, just in contrary. However, not many of these innovations are actually helping the bedside and the patients. And as a clinical research professional in the past, it's a lack of adoption because it's not built with this people who will be at the end of using it. Sounds like a classic, but this is tragic.
Yeah. And what I really loved about that initial mentorship I received following the hackathon was the fact that you matched me to the perfect mentor that I could have asked for. So obviously I submitted all my details in terms of CV, what my interests, what we were working on in terms of innovation. And you guys, I guess that was probably, that was a year ago, that was a bit earlier now. Now it's done differently, but you guys would have looked through that and thought, she's working on X. We know a mentor who also has a passion for that same X. Let's match them and see what they can do together, which is really great because it's almost from the get-go explaining my innovation I was working on. My mentor Rob, he was so excited, he loved it, and we clicked like that because we had the same passion for the same things, right? And so it almost got rid of the journey of me having to look for the right mentor because you knew exactly how to facilitate that matchmaking. Tell me a little bit about the AI matchmaking service that you guys are working on, because obviously previously to this point it's been done manually, right? You will have gone through CVs of mentees and CVs of mentors and then matchmake them appropriately. But now what we're working on is something different, more scalable, is the AI matchmaking platform. So let's talk about that. It's exciting, right?
Yeah. It took us a time to begin with. When we started this platform, we developed our own personalized tags, which is industry specific, right? So we don't need to do the matchmaking element. We don't need to spend so much time to begin with because the system was tailored in the way we can have with a few clicks actually the match. So it wasn't really hard to match you with your mentor because you completed your profile. So the system takes this actually on its own. However, to make this completely scalable and automated, obviously, this is where the AI will come in place when it's accurately matching you. And this is what we are doing now, when the AI will have a different weight of certain parameters. And we know what the parameters are important for the match. For instance, we know that it's not the CV only, but your skills, your desire, your current knowledge, and the way you want to learn, because it's also different. Some people prefer to learn in a group and in a bit more engaging sessions with a one-on-one mental life, but some of the people are more willing to learn on their own pace, on demand, or having asynchronous learning. So we're learning a lot about different methods of learning and estimating where this person stands in the journey now and where this person wants to go in the future and how we can take this automatically through this journey. And at any given time, we will have accurate recommendations.
Yeah, exciting things. Really exciting because it's almost going to be a personalized education platform to your exact needs, right? It's almost like a Netflix for health tech, med tech. What I loved about the mentorship program as well is just the fact that at university, the curriculum is very competitive, right? So it's examination based. So you have students who are just focusing on passing the exams and doing as well as possible. You don't have an environment of students who are interested in medtech, health tech, entrepreneurship and healthcare that you can talk to, exchange ideas and build upon each other. What I loved about the mentorship is you have that environment. You have people like yourselves at med school or as junior doctors who are focusing on their own innovations, but you can have conversations with them, what they're doing, what's working with them, and almost you can build the stepping stones together. You can lift each other up, which you wouldn't get traditionally at medical school because not everyone has the same interests as you do. And so it's the mentorship as well is, I found, is an amazing way to meet like-minded people, isn't it?
Absolutely. And this is what the testimonials of our users are saying. Obviously, there are other wonderful platforms around, and we don't want to discount them for the amazing job that they're doing. However, the personalized education and health already to begin with, before you even start the matchmaking, the subset of like-minded peers that they have similar goals than you, that's already a good start for the matchmaking, right? And this is where the community comes in. So it's not only the platform itself. Okay, people come for education, but stay for community, right? And as you mentioned that on the global scale, this is something wonderful because healthcare isn't just one country or one continent. This is a global thing. And I think the pandemic showed us how important it is, that global collaboration and exchanging information to the right time with the right people and having the subset of information which can help to bring this groundbreaking innovation through on a fast scale. This is at the end of the day what matters. And if we can make this the same unique experience now on the peer-to-peer part, then move to the business-to-business part, and then making patient to a clinician, that they have the same user journey if the algorithm is working, that how we can collaboratively solve the healthcare problem.
Yeah, that's going to be very impactful, very powerful. It's going to be very efficient and exciting for when we get to that point, right? Where you can, if you need a certain type of niche expertise, rather than wasting time searching for that person, you can go to the BNRB platform and input what you need, and the service will provide you with that person. We'll be able to matchmake you and connect the dots in the landscape, which is really exciting. And what I specifically like about what we're doing with the academy as well at the moment is obviously the internship scene. That is almost skyrocketed. We have record numbers of students and postgraduate students signing up to our micro internship schemes. Let's talk a bit about that. The current issue I found as someone looking for interns in internships in the health tech and med tech spaces, it's hard to find. It's a daunting experience trying to reach out to people and say, you know what, I'm a student, I don't have much experience, but please maybe take me on board, let me help you out. And a lot of times people just ignore you. A lot of times people say, oh, we're not really looking for someone. And it was difficult to find internship experience for me to build upon my professional knowledge and skills. So how are we trying to change that for students to make that process a bit more streamlined and easier?
Wonderful, Ash. I think this is the main focus, because at the end of the day, we want to help STEM students and junior doctors and to explore these careers. But how can you put your CV and get the job if you don't have this first experience? I think this is the most frustrating one. And I also was dealing with this issue in my career. And yes, it took me 10 years to get there, right? So what we do at the BNRB, by shortening this time and actually not to make people waiting 10 years to find the perfect job, but rather having these skills, this expertise to find short-term opportunities, connect with the companies who are in need in this particular expertise, and have motivated students who can help them out, for students to make the informed decisions, which avenue to take. Because like you say, the choice is quite wide, although medtech industry isn't big, but the choice is already quite large. You can go to the VC, you can go to the research, you can start build your own companies, you can become a medical director, you can become non-executive director, you can become key opinion leader. So a lot of options, right? So how do I know which one to choose? So we at the BNRB, we pioneered the way how these placements and how this micro internship opportunities become available. And we are advocating that to begin with, micro intern needs to be paid. Even if it's a small amount of money, they need to be paid. And they need to learn this accountability and responsibility. It's a job at the end of the day, right? So we are selecting, we are vetting these most talented individuals. We are having also metrics on key performance indicators. What makes the intern successful? And if we are placing them, is it changing from what we are thinking the intern is capable to do? Is it changing after the placement? So we automated this process too. We are working with the companies. For example, we work with the company who is building clinician app. Of course, they were interested in the future clinicians and the medical students to actually bring this innovation to life pretty quickly by launching, by organizing events, by testing it, by driving this process. So we had the success of placing for one project 5 interns. And this was wonderful. And these interns, they performed really well. And we learned a lot how to manage these expectations on both parts. Because if you are the founder, the owner, you maybe not be experienced in managing the people. On the other hand, if you are intern, you don't know what the first job looks like. It's almost like a recipe for disaster. And that's why it's not working, because it's a mismatch of expectations. Because one person don't know how to manage another one, and another one don't know what the expectations on them are. So we are taking this niche on actually manage this in a way that is efficient, it's automated, it's aligned on expectations and training. And that's why the training comes as a very important element. Why we have success on placing these interns? Because these people are educated on the industry to begin with, and they are specifically educated what the position entails and what the responsibility and metrics are needed.
Yeah. I think there's 3 things specifically I love about the micro internship scheme. And number one is the fact you don't need previous experience. It is open to anyone interested, anyone who wants to find an opportunity in the medtech, health tech space. All they have to do is express interest, right? And currently we have nearly 100, right? It's nearly 100 students now.
Yeah, within what, 1.5 months?
Which is really great. So any students out there interested in finding some health tech, med tech experiences, then just express interest. And I think the second thing, number two, is the fact that we're advocating that students need to be paid. We put the student first. We understand that a lot of students, they are used as almost unpaid labor sometimes and taken advantage of. And we're making sure that doesn't happen. And that's... Students' times are appreciated. In my experience, some students who have had internships in the past, they will be taken advantage of the fact that they are keen and almost put all the hours under the sun and then not get anything back out of it. But we don't want that. We want students' time to be valued. And equally, obviously, you guys are getting the experience as students, but we want to make sure that you're valued as well. So that's number two, what I love. And number three is that the internships that we are recommending and that we're pushing out are actually really, really exciting, really interesting. And so the clinician app you're talking about, just for any interested students out there, is a peer-to-peer clinical app that a group of doctors are working on to make it easier for medical students to find doctors who, on their shifts in the hospital, who are interested in teaching and interested in signing you guys off for your DOPS, for example, taking blood cannulas, because a lot of time as students, it is hard to find a doctor on a busy ward who is happy to take you under their wing and teach you and happy to get your sign-offs done and your space discussions, all this stuff that is mandatory, but it's a bit tedious. A lot of doctors will say, go find someone else. And so what this app does is a peer-to-peer communication system between the doctors and the students. And it will say, I'm a doctor, I have a shift between certain hours, I'm interested in teaching, anyone interested, come along. Which is really good because it makes the whole system more efficient, and it's less like a student is having to waste their time finding a doctor, but instead you go on this app, you find the doctor instantly. That's just one example. And then another example is there is a VR company working on VR-based OSCEs, so students sign up and they can work on their own VR examinations. And so you get given a camera, a virtual reality 360 camera, and you will record a OSCE scenario, which can be played back in virtual reality, which is really exciting and really interesting. And so I love that the micro internships aren't just tedious or Excel spreadsheets, audits, nothing like that. It's actually real experiences that you can use and take forward in your medtech health tech journey, which is really great.
Yeah, absolutely. We are now ramping up our partnership and partnering with the leading health tech medtech incubators, promoting our micro-intern scheme. We have some exciting events coming up where it will be reverse pitch, not the students pitching to the companies, but actually companies pitching to interns, and a little bit interns as well. So it's a facilitation by us to give the show to these guys on actually showcasing one of what they're building and another what is offering. And there will be opportunity to opt in into the scheme. So we went slowly to begin with to make sure that we have a solid legal foundation on managing payments, on having expectations on both parts, on having policies, on having SOPs, which is standard operating procedures, how we actually facilitate this process. Because the last thing you want, that the company will not pay interns, won't pay, or intern will be disappointed because it's not what they're expecting. So we went slowly from the beginning, actually learning how the process should look like. Now we tested. We have a great success of 5 interns put together with the project. Another one is a pipeline now being matchmade. And now we are ready to ramp it up. So we have 100 people join the group, ready to go. Now we are ready to showcase them and get on board more companies and automate this process. I'm really excited about that.
Yes, very exciting. And I think it's especially relevant at the moment because obviously, as we said earlier, this week junior doctors are striking. And I think it's more than 50% of junior doctors are considering leaving the NHS than staying, which is a scary stat. And I think whether you are a medical student looking to carry down the traditional route of staying as a doctor, it won't harm you and it won't disadvantage you if you are wary of the fact that this whole current, the climate is unsteady at the moment. It can only benefit you by upskilling yourself and diversifying your portfolio and making sure you have all these other skills, which sets you apart with other people, so that if you are forced to step out the NHS, you are a step above, a step in front of other clinicians, right? So it's really valuable and something that isn't, in my opinion, spoken enough about at university as well. With that said, I think we've covered quite a bit at the moment. So obviously, if you're firstly a student or junior doctor working on an innovation and feel you haven't been given enough support at university or within your institute, come to BNRBU. We can help you. We can provide you mentorship guidance. We can provide you courses which will help you build your skills. We have interview prep workshops. We have CV writing workshops. We offer one-on-one mentorship guidance. We offer masterclasses about AI, about branding. We offer so much, so that support is there for anyone that does need it. Secondly, if you're a student with no experience on the opposite end of the spectrum and want to come along and gain some experience, gain some exposure, join our micro-internship scheme because it will be extremely valuable for you. So what's the future plans for BNRBU? We've obviously spoken about the mentorship scheme and the micro-internship deal, but what else have we got in the pipeline?
Absolutely. I think we will just continue to do what we're doing, growing our community, growing our curriculum, growing the academy, getting more CPD courses on board, getting more educators on board who will give the valuable industry-tailored curriculum to BNRBU so our resource library can grow and so our algorithm can be actually told trained. On. Yeah, trained. Exactly. I'm trained on the accuracy.
Yeah. And so anyone interested, join BNRBU. It's completely free. Just sign up, get yourself on the platform, reach out to me and Nina. We're both there. So type in Ash, type in Nina. We're there. Is there anything else you wanted to discuss about BNRBU? Obviously, we have the launch of our brand new landing page, which is coming in a couple of weeks, which is exciting. So everyone definitely stay tuned for that as well.
I'm really excited to have a new face, a new landing, and I think we got quite a lot of clarification on our value proposition, amazing feedback from our users, what they expect from the system. And thank you for those who provided this valuable feedback and building this ecosystem with us, because at the end of the day, this platform is built for you. So come and join us.
Yeah, definitely. And one more thing, actually, before we end the podcast. We have also just recently released our student ambassador program, haven't we?
Oh, yes. This was a fantastic experience, right? When students actually invited themselves and say they would like to become ambassadors.
Yeah. So we met a couple of really keen, interested students in the University of Leeds at the MedTech Hackathon 2023. And they were interested in wondering ways they can get involved in BNRBU. And so we came up with the student ambassador program. So if you want to network and meet more people in the medtech space, just sign up to that.
And of course, we are looking for wonderful academic partners. So if you are a university or student-led network and you need a platform, a technology to manage your community and having your voice in the community, we would love to hear from you. Just comment by BNRBU and type in the community Ash or Ina and send us direct message. As simple as that.
And any investors out there also, don't forget investors, you know.
Exactly.
We're of course currently fundraising, so anyone interested, make sure you reach out to Ina. She is an amazing CEO, extremely driven person, extremely driven founder, and she has an amazing vision that we're all just trying to support her on and make it happen. So thank you so much, Ina, for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much, Ash. And not to forget our CIA scheme. So we have a CIA scheme for those angels who are in the industry and understand the industry, passionate about learning experience, and want to give the voice to all the junior doctors and healthcare professionals of a personalized education. So we would love to hear from you. We have an attractive tax scheme.
Yeah, great. So if anyone, whether you're a student, whether you're an investor, whether you are a business listening to this podcast, BNRP is a perfect platform for you. Just sign up, reach out to one of us. We're more than happy to set up a call and facilitate a conversation. So thank you so much, Ina, for coming on.
Thank you, Ash. Pleasure. And great job you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you.